Welcome to the FBCLB podcast, where you'll find the preaching of Dave Delaney, pastor of the First Baptist Church of Long Beach. Thanks for listening.
Great job, girls. Take your Bibles and go to Exodus chapter 3 this evening. Exodus chapter 3. And if you found your place and if you're willing and able, stand with me out of respect for the reading of God's Word. Exodus chapter 3, and we're going to read verse number 21 and verse number 22. Exodus chapter 3, verse number 21 and verse number 22. And we are in a study on Sunday nights, working our way through the story of the Exodus, the story of God's deliverance for the children of Israel. Exodus chapter 3, verse number 21, verse number 22. The easiest way to find it, go all the way to the beginning of the Bible, and then Genesis, Exodus, all right? That's how you'll find it the quickest way, all right? Exodus chapter 3, the big number 3, the small number 21. Exodus chapter 3, verse 21, and verse 22. This is God speaking now, and he's speaking to Moses. Moses has not gone into Egypt and delivered the children of Israel out of the hand of the Egyptians as of yet. He's about to. It takes place in chapter 4, chapter 5. He's about to, but he has not gone yet. So verse number 21. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall come to pass that when ye go, that ye shall not go empty. If you're in the habit of marking your Bible, you should mark that phrase, ye shall not go empty. But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in her house jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and raiment. And ye shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians. Our Heavenly Father, we ask this evening that you would teach us great and wonderful things out of your word. Father, I pray that you would encourage our hearts by your word this evening. Father, I pray that you might strengthen our individual Christian lives. Father, I pray that you would strengthen our lives corporately as well. Father, thank you for the great morning you gave us this morning, and we are looking forward to the report, Father, that we will hear from the offering and the commitments that were made. And Father, we ask that you might get the honor and the glory from all of that. And in your Son's name we pray, and all the church said, amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. So we said three things, and your outline, I think we got an outline, but the outline is reflective of last week. But we said basically three things from this passage of Scripture, and we only tackled one last week. We said, point number one, you will not work alone. You won't work alone. And God sent Moses back into Egypt, and when he did, the first place he told the Egyptian, Moses to go was to the Israelite rulers, to the Israelite elders, to those that were in leadership or authority in and over the Israelites. Man, and we learned the principle last week that God does not intend for us to go through life alone. Oftentimes, when God is leading us to a big moment, oftentimes when God is bringing us to a critical decision in our life, man, oftentimes when God brings us to his purpose or his mission for us, oftentimes he wants us to go to those who he has put us in relationship with. And man, to seek out spiritual leaders, to seek out spiritual mentors, man, to be iron that sharpens iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. I mean, we want to be that kind of friend for somebody else, and we are thankful for those kind of friends that God has given us. And we spent our time last week on that first point. You won't work alone. And God has a big job for Moses to do, but the great news is Moses does not have to do this job all by himself. And that's the great news. But number two, we're going to tackle this one tonight. You won't leave alone. Look over verse 21 again. And it shall be, I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall come to pass that when ye go, ye shall not go empty. That God was going to meet the needs of the children of Israel by way of the Egyptians. Now, the immediate question is, why would the Egyptians give to the Israelites once the Israelites had decided to leave? Man, perhaps one of the reasons they were giving to them is because they felt bad for the way that they had treated them for all those years. Perhaps they realized, man, we've treated you rottenly, we've treated you poorly, and now that you're leaving, man, we feel bad for how and the way in which we've treated you. So here, take this token of a gesture on our part, man, to help heal the wounds for all the. It's possible that they gave to them because they felt bad for them. It's possible that they gave to them, man, because they've seen now the God of the Israelites move on behalf of the Israelites. Man, you have to remember, this would be, man, this is speaking futuristically, but it will be after the 10 plagues. It'll be after let my people go. Man, those big moments. And perhaps the Egyptians will witness the 10 plagues. They'll witness the way that God is working among the Israelites. And they will be so moved. They will be so moved by what they see. Man, the faith displayed. They will be so moved by that they will respond to the need of the Israelites. Hey, whether it was because they felt poorly, whether it was because they were impressed by the faith of the Israelites, man, whether it was this reason or that, maybe it was a completely different reason altogether, but whatever the reason was, this is the lesson. God would meet their need. Now that's the lesson. God will meet their need, and our God shall supply our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Man, the psalmist David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen God's people begging bread. Man, isn't it true in our lives? God meets our needs. Isn't it true in your life? God has met your needs. And aren't you thankful for the way that God meets our needs? And one of the amazing things in this passage of Scripture is the way that God met the Israelites' needs. Do you know how he decided to meet their needs? He decided to meet their needs through the Egyptians. He decided to meet their needs through a group of people who were pagan in their belief. He decided to meet their needs, man, in any and every way that he can. When they get to the wilderness, God decides to meet their needs by way of raining bread down from heaven. When they get to the wilderness, he decides to meet their need by way of causing quail to fall from the sky and it pile up to their kneecap. But before they get to the wilderness, the way God decides to meet their needs, man, give them that jump start. The way that God decides to meet their need is by sending them out of the camp of the Egyptians with all the resources of the Egyptians. And this is what God is teaching the children of Israel. I'm not going to just get you out by the skin of your teeth. I'm not just going to barely get you out. I'm not going to barely sneak you in. I'm not just going to get you out, but I'm going to bless you in an unbelievable, really an inconceivable way. I'm going to bless you. Listen, God does not just deliver us by the skin of our teeth. And God does not just redeem us just barely. Man, God, he equips us. God does not just save us, man, but he also calls us and he equips us for the job that he has for us to do. And if you're here this evening, you're going, okay, Pastor, fine, but what does this mean for me? How does this apply to me? And this is where I want to go tonight. How does this apply to me? Here's how it applies to us. God gives us great gifts every day. God gives us unbelievable, inconceivable gifts every day. Man, God is constantly, always, he is newly giving us good gifts. Man, he is going exceeding abundantly above. Man, always doing exceeding abundantly above, far more than we ever thought, than we ever hoped, or than we ever dared dream that God would do. God meets our needs in a variety of ways. God can meet our needs in a variety of ways. Because think about how God has provided for us. It's just a couple ideas. Number one, think about the country that God has given to us to live in. Think about the country that God has given to us to live in. It's certainly true that America is not a perfect country, but it's pretty good, wouldn't you say? America's not perfect, that's true, but it's pretty good. And we have a lot of liberties, and we have a lot of freedom. And we're able to meet in open in places like this without threat of the government coming in and kicking us out. God has been good to us by way of the place that he has given us to live. God is good to us each and every day. Man, we have a country that looks after, cares for, takes thought of, making sure we have, man, plumbing in our home, making sure we flush toilets and it makes it someplace good other than in our basement. And we laugh about silly things like indoor plumbing. But friends, go to some parts of the world where the government is not providing those sorts of things, and you will be grateful for a toilet that flushes in your own house. Man, we've been given an amazing gift. And America is not perfect. We do not even begin to believe that we are perfect. But we have been blessed by God to be able to be here. We have been blessed by God to be able to be here, to live here. Man, the country we live in. Man, another way God blesses us, the condition of the body that he has given us. Man, the psalmist David said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Right now, you are breathing, and chances are you aren't even telling yourself to breathe. You're not sitting there going, okay, breathe, 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 breathe. You're just doing it. It's amazing. You're just breathing. And do you know why you're just breathing? Because God made your body to just breathe without you having to tell it to breathe every second. Breathe. Breathe, breathe. And we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Think about this. Think about the taste buds on the back of your tongue. When they taste things that are sweet, that are sour, that are yummy, that are yucky. they taste things that are delicious and things that are not so delicious. Man, they can taste and discern blueberry Pop-Tarts. Man, they can taste and discern In-N-Out Burger, double-double, extra animal style, right? Man, they can taste and discern broccoli. Green beans. Man, all those little, and you know what it does? That makes eating food enjoyable. How many of you enjoy eating food? Let me see. Raise your hand. Some of you should have raised your hand. You did it. And we can tell you enjoy eating, all right? Come on, let's try again. The class participation. How many of you enjoy eating food? Do you know why you enjoy eating food so much? Because something tells you that food you're eating is yummy. Do you know what that is? That's a taste bud. And you know who put that there? God. God put it there. God gave us the body that we have. Man, so Paul would say, so whatever I do, whether I eat, man, whether I sleep, whether I go to work, whether I go to church, man, whatsoever I do to the glory of God. So when you eat chocolate cake tonight, you can go, this is for God's glory right here, right? Now, you can do that by way of enjoying it because God gave you those taste buds in order for you to enjoy it. And God is not a cranky parent. He wants you to enjoy the gifts that He has given to you. And one of the gifts He's given you is your physical capabilities, your legs, your eyes, your brain, your lungs, your taste buds. Man, we ought to enjoy these things that God has given to us to enjoy. Well, God hasn't blessed me yet today. Man, you ate lunch and you were able to discern different tastes at lunch. That's a gift from God. And the believer, the Christian, recognizes that. Man, those who are spiritually mature recognize, man, the fact that I can discern taste, that is actually a gift from my God. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Don't email me about how bad In-N-Out burgers are for you either, all right? The country we live in, the condition of our body. Hey, not just that, but the calling on our life. The calling on our life. Man, to do what is good, acceptable, and to do that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Hey, God does not just save us, just call us, create us, and then let us to our own. God has a job for you to do while you're here. You say, well, not me, Pastor. I mean, I don't even know what I would do. Hey, if you're breathing, if there's air in your lungs today, there's something that God wants for you to do today. God has a work for you to do. God has a job for you to do. God has something. God saves us. God creates us. God then calls us. He gives our life purpose. Man, these are the ways that God gives us great gifts. On your way out of town, here's what we're going to do for you. Man, He gives us our country. He gives us the condition of our bodies. He gives us a calling on our life. Hey, listen, He gives us a church where we can worship. That should have got a little more amens than that one. I'm going to let you off the hook for tonight because I know everybody's thinking about food right now. Man, Christ bought the church with His own blood. He purchased it with His life. And then He gives the church to you and to me in order for us to enjoy a place where we can serve and a place where we can be served. Man, where we can enter into fellowship with people who are like-minded, people who pursue God in the same way we are pursuing God. The church is a gift from God to us. Man, we should enjoy it. Hey, the companion in your life, the country you live in, the condition of your body, the calling on your life, the church where you worship, the companion in your life. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing. She will cost you a whole bunch of rubies. That's not what it says. I changed that version. Now, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing. Her price is far above rubies. And she is well worth that. Man, that's a gift from God. Your wife is a gift from God to you. Your husband, well, I don't know if that's a gift or not. We'll get back to that one. He's a gift from God to you. This is God's way of gifting you. This is God's way of blessing you. This is God's way of, poor man, the country you live in, the condition of your body, the calling on your life, the church that you worship in, the companion for your life, the children that call you mom or dad. Children are a heritage of the Lord. You know what that means? That means children are a gift from God to us. Man, that God would bless you with children. There are so many people who would love to be able to sink their life into a son or a daughter. And God has seen fit to give you that gift. Man, that's a wasteful thing to go, I'm tired of, and they're always getting on my nerves, and man, they're annoying me, and man, when they're grown and functional, then they can come back and have worth. Man, those children are a blessing from God to you. And God has given you that gift by way of son or daughter, and God has not given that gift to everyone. Man, so mom or dad, if God has given you that gift, man, see to it that you train them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. See to it that you train them up in the way that they should go. And these are ways that God blesses us. Man, these are just a few, and there are dozens more, are there not? I mean, can we not sit here for hours and all of us take a turn just saying all the ways that God blesses us and meets our need and provides for us and gives good gifts to us? Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father, cometh down from the Father of lights, whom there is no variableness and neither shadow of turning. That good gift, it did not resonate within yourself. That good gift came from God Almighty. This is what God promised to Abraham all the way back in Genesis chapter number 15. He says, you will be enslaved, but I will lead you out with great possessions. Genesis chapter 15, verse number 14. God has a variety of ways in which he meets our needs. God has a variety of ways in which he gifts us and blesses us with. And here's the question for you and for me tonight. This is it. We're done. I'm waiting on the total, I think. Let me make sure I didn't get that text message already. Oh, no, I did. Here's what it is. God gives us gifts. God provides our needs. And here's what it is for you and for me tonight. Here's the question. How are you using that gift? You see, that's where the rubber meets the road for us. How are you using that, man, that variety, those variety of gifts, man, the multiple ways that God is good to us, God has blessed us. I mean, if you with me tonight say, man, you're right, Pastor, those are gifts that God has given to me, I've taken them for granted in my life. Man, let's repent of taking these things for granted and let's decide, man, we're going to serve and we're going to bless and we're going to work and, man, we're going to be a part and we're going to train and teach and we're going to do all that we can while we can. Man, the time is short. How many of you know that? On Wednesday night, I want you to be back on Wednesday night. We're going to take a special time on Wednesday night. I'm going to preach a sermon from Matthew chapter 25 about the end times, how to know when we're close to the end. How many of you, like me, you think we're really close to the end? It could be any moment, right? I hope it's not before we get to eat some of that food downstairs. But if it is, we'll eat just as good of food in heaven. I promise you, probably better food in heaven, right? There's Pop-Tarts in heaven. Don't look at me like that. Of course there's Pop-Tarts in heaven. It wouldn't be heaven without Pop-Tarts. Hey, time is short. I want you to plan to be back. Invite a coworker Wednesday night. Pastor's going to talk about the end of the world on Wednesday night. You got to be there to hear it. Matthew chapter 25. Man, the time is short. We have just but a few moments left here on this life. And man, I want to do all I can for God and for good while I can. Don't you? And the night cometh when no man can work. So let's do what we can while we can. How many of you with me tonight, you'd say, Pastor, I'm thankful for the good gifts God's given to me. Yeah, my hands raised too.